We're joined today by violinist Tom Stone and cellist Jennifer Kletzel. They're two members of the San Francisco-based Cypress String Quartet. And welcome to both of you, first of all.
Oh, thanks, Brad.
Hi, Brad.
We're here to talk about your new Beethoven release, but first, it's kind of a bittersweet moment, since as we speak, your final concert as a quartet is happening just in a few days.
That's right.
Mm-hmm. So you're disbanding after 20 years now. Can you tell us how you came to that decision?
Well, I like to think of it as every flower can only bloom for a certain amount of time. And we've had an incredible 20 years together as a string quartet. We finished all the projects that were really important to us, including these Beethoven quartets. This release is the final volume of a three-volume set of all of Beethoven's quartets. And I think we were all at a point in our lives that we're ready to try something a little bit different.
Do you remember the first time that you all performed together in public?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
It was about a month after we started rehearsing together, and it was, believe it or not, on a cruise ship in the San Francisco Bay.
Wow.
They took us by barge out to meet the cruise ship. Apparently people would be on the cruise ship for like 3 days in the bay. And we performed Debussy Quartet right above the engine room.
How was that?
We could barely hear each other.
I don't know that I've ever asked you two about the name of your quartet. Now, that comes from the Dvorak work, right?
That's right. So Dvorak wrote a set of love songs when he was a young man. He had fallen in love with a young woman, and she had rejected him. And he poured out his emotion in a set of songs. He put those songs away and later came to the melodies and reset 12 of them for string quartet. And we love these. We think they're just overlooked treasures and enjoy performing them. So we use them as the basis of our name.
It's like the only song cycle for string quartet. So, yeah. And they're really beautiful.
Well, it's interesting that that is at the heart of what you do, because, Tom, I've heard you say that you want to sound like you're singing when you play music mm-hmm. on your string instruments. And I even read an interview where you talked about equating Schubert with the voice of Dietrich Fischer-Dieskau, the great German leader singer. So when it comes to Beethoven, who's your singer role model for Beethoven?
What a great question. I mean, Dietrich Fischer-Dieskau is still a hero. And that's such a good question for Beethoven, because I don't associate Beethoven as much with vocalists as I do with Schubert and some other composers. And of course, it's true, we try to make our instruments sound like they're singing. In a lot of these early Beethoven recordings that just came out, there's strong influence of Mozart. And, mm-hmm. you know, I think of great singers of Mozart opera when we're doing these. There's a slow movement from Opus 18, number 1, that is inspired by the tomb scene of Romeo and Juliet. And I think of that as very much sort of in a Mozart operatic vein.
It's interesting, as you're talking about that, I'm thinking it's true for singers or for the vocal lines, I'm thinking much more Mozart, Schubert, Dvorak, but Beethoven is much more for me about like the spoken word. He equates more to Shakespeare for me or something like that, a great actor. It's got drama in the same way. It's complex, like when there's a scene with a lot of people on stage, that's what Beethoven feels like much more to me.
Well, we should say that the recording that we're talking about are the first set of string quartets mm-hmm. that Beethoven wrote. There are three different sets of recordings that you've done. You've done the late quartets, the middle quartets, and now the early quartets, mm-hmm. which were his first, you know, venture into the genre. Why did you save these for last?
That's a good question. It's like telling a story in reverse.
That's right.
Yeah.
And honestly, we were a little bit intimidated in the beginning. The early quartets, I think, are the hardest to pull off. They're the most exposed. They're the most delicate. And Beethoven wasn't as mature as of a composer in the early quartets as he was later, obviously. He was 30, so they weren't experimental works. I mean, he was a developed composer, mm-hmm. but he was still trying to prove himself worthy of the tradition of Haydn and Mozart. And you hear Beethoven's voice in these, but you hear the influence so strongly of these composers that, like Mozart, who Beethoven admired. So I think for us as a quartet, we felt like we really needed the experience.
But that being said, we did not intentionally leave these for last. I think when we started out, you know, we were really gung-ho for the late quartets. And it took us a long time to say, okay, we've spent, you know, 10 years only focusing on the lates. Let's move back into the middles. And then eventually it was like, you know, okay, we need to find our way to the Opus 18 quartets. And what was amazing about doing it that way was I think we looked at the Opus 18 quartets with completely different eyes than we would have if we'd started with them. Because I grew to appreciate them so much more as being truly the voice of Beethoven. All the germs, all the ideas that he's going to use later appear in those early quartets. But I'm not sure I would have realized it had I come from the Haydn Mozart world into that.
Well, I think in listening to the recording, it's fairly obvious that you do emphasize some of those Beethoven-like mm-hmm. idiosyncrasies.
Yeah.
The kind of unpredictability that Beethoven mm-hmm. has in his later works mm-hmm. is brought out in your interpretation here, which I think is great.
Okay. Thank you.
Good plan that you had there.
Well, thank you.
I'm curious now. Obviously, you think it's important to keep revisiting Beethoven.
Mm-hmm.
It's been a big part of your quartet's performances and recordings, and you've been documenting those interpretations. Why do you think it's so important for us to keep revisiting Beethoven, reinterpreting Beethoven, going back to his music, even almost two centuries after his death? What is the relevance of Beethoven today?
Yeah, it's such an important question. You know, every generation, I think, has to reckon with the great works of art that humanity has created. And Beethoven's works for string quartet just stand as kind of a beacon of what we can accomplish as human beings. And I think it's important to keep those alive and keep them in people's awareness. But it's also important as an exercise for us as performers to reckon with them and try to prove ourselves worthy. And it's important for us to challenge audiences with mm-hmm. new ways of looking at them. And, you know, I think that's what motivates us and really inspires us to try to keep these works, you know, not only performed, but changing and relevant and alive.
And allowing people of today to have an experience with these works in you know, live concert. We have audience members write us letters after we've performed for them saying, you know, I never knew I loved this music and it moved me so much, and the slow movement had, you know, I had this emotional experience during it and I never expected that to happen. And for me, that's one of the most important reasons to do it, to grapple with these and share them. And we're always looking for new ways to share them with audiences. We just completed a project here in San Francisco where we performed all 16 quartets in public spaces, outdoors, through all kinds of weather, over the course of 2 weeks. We had over 5,000 people attend those performances, and they were free and open to the public. And it was, you know, it was sort of an idea was like, let's bring Beethoven to the people. So instead of bringing them to the concert hall, let's take it out into the world and see how people respond. And the responses were amazing. And that's why.
Yeah, that's such a wonderful idea. And of course, you know, the idea that there are always new audiences coming along,
that's right.
Is an important part of that equation. You say all kinds of weather out there in San Francisco, although if you're gonna be outside.
We had no snow.
I think San Francisco is the place to do it.
That's right.
Speaking of, you know, leading up to your final concert, which is happening very soon, Well, let me ask you a couple of questions about your time at Cypress. What would you say is your most proud moment, or the thing that you're the most proud of having accomplished with the quartet over the past 20 years?
Just one? Wow.
Well, one that comes to mind.
So I think one of the things I'm most proud of, you know, we've wanted to make sure that this art form remains current. So we've searched for great living voices of, you know, to write string quartets. And so we've commissioned or premiered over 30 works in our 20 years together. So there's a body of work that's, you know, come into existence because of our time together. I'm very proud of that.
Yeah. And we've created education programs that have reached over 150,000 students, I think, which is a point of pride for us. But I think mostly that we've survived 20 years as a quartet and with three founding members and a fourth who joined us 15 years ago. I think just having such a long and fruitful run has defied the odds and been something I think we're all very proud of.
Yes. Yeah.
Well, and you have a rich legacy in the form of your recordings, your discography, the works that you've commissioned and recorded, as well as these wonderful Beethoven recordings, which is great. Now, you're going to keep your website and social media in business, right?
We will, yes.
Good, because there's a lot of great stuff there. My favorite is that picture you have at Skywalker Sound with Yoda and Chewbacca.
Oh. They brought us luck.
I take it they weren't there at the actual recording session.
Oh, those figures were. Yes, they were.
The cutouts, they were. Wow. Nice. They were watching over Beethoven. That's kind of a culture clash right there.
Yeah, a little bit.
That's right.
We've been talking with the violinist Tom Stone and cellist Jennifer Kletzel of the Cypress String Quartet, whose final installment in their Beethoven String Quartet cycle is now available. You can find links to all things Cypress at our website. That's at WGTE.org. Tom and Jennifer, congratulations on everything that you have all accomplished over the last 20 years.
Well, thank you, Brad.
And we look forward to what the future holds for all of you.
Thanks, Brad.